Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey. You'll find inspiration, support, and simple steps to help you on the path to a better life. Simple steps lead to real change. Here are your hosts, Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey.
Good evening. Do you know that you're beautiful and you have a place in this world? Or do you think that your life is just another one of many and you're existing without purpose? Our guest tonight is Cheryl Fronglass, creator of A Woman's True Voice. Her mission is to empower people who are stressed out because of global changes and the things that happen every day. Hi, it's Cheryl Maloney. Kenny Brixey and I are your hosts tonight for Simple Steps, Real Change, a show to help you find the courage to take a simple step in your life that will lead to a better place and a happier life. We're glad you joined us as we take this walk on the positive side of life. Kenny, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, I'm glad spring has finally come to Oregon. But, you know, we have to follow up on a conversation we had last week, because during our show then, you were about to have a new grandchild. You want to tell everyone what happened?
Well, if you're going to twist my arm, I can probably say something. Yeah. We were blessed with Ryland James Hersman. He was born last Wednesday morning at just shy of 8 pounds and 21 inches. And while I haven't met him in person yet, I have bunches of pictures that I'll share with anybody.
Well, he's a real cutie. So anybody that wants to see him, just go to Kenny's personal page.
I tell you
Kenny
what.
Kenny Brixey, he's got them up there, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of them. So. Well, thanks. Well, Cheryl, before we get busy and get to the fun part of the show, well, all of it's fun, but before we get to our guest, I just want to remind everybody of a few things and state our gratitude to some really important people in the process of getting this show going. First one being Brent Carey, the owner, CEO, head honcho of Empower Radio, the guy whose vision has made this possible for us to share our positive message and that message of all of our guests as well. And then, of course, we have to thank Bob Wittersheim, who keeps us in line. He plays a really vital role in getting this show going and really keeps us on track. And then as an added bonus tonight, we have Brian Davis, who's keeping Bob intact. So. I'm not sure how all that works back behind the scenes, but they complement each other well. With that, I want to just tell everybody that we do have some open lines tonight. So I know that you're going to love our guests and you're going to have lots of questions for us. So feel free to call in. The number is 248-809-3474. Again, that's 248-809-3474. Or if you would rather, you can email a question to us and we will do our best to get that question on the air. The email address is simplesteps@me.com. Again, that's simplesteps@me.com. And with that, Cheryl, I'm going to kick it back over to you so you can introduce our guest.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl Fronglass is a life and relationship coach. And what I loved when we were talking to her is she used to own a woman's boutique store, and she listened to what the women were saying about themselves when they were trying on their clothes. And for anyone that's ever been in a dressing room and bemoaning their physical shape and condition, I know you know what I'm talking about. Cheryl wanted to find a way to make a difference in how women feel about themselves. She ultimately moved out of the retail world, and she made it her mission to help women understand the bigger picture and to know that they are beautiful and have a place in the world. Cheryl, welcome to our show. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's fun to be able to call someone my name, even though we spell it differently. It's a little confusing, I guess, but we have different voices, so that works. But I'm so excited to be on the show with you and Kenny.
Well, thank you so much. Tell our audience. Okay, I just had a hummingbird fly past my window. That's a sign, Cheryl. That's
absolutely
a sign, because I'm nowhere near where a hummingbird would feed. So the birds are coming to say, Cheryl's here. We're going to listen to a woman's true voice tonight.
Tell
the audience a little bit that when you told us the story, Kenny and I, the story about your retail business, tell us what was driving you to help women. Give us a little bit of background on that.
Well, like many people, I had spent so many years feeling that there was something wrong with me that I had to change, whether it was my weight or the color of my hair or whatever. I did not feel very good about who I was. And at the time, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I owned a retail store with my husband at that time. And we didn't sell a lot of women's clothing, but we sold bathing suits for women because it was more of a sports store. And I would listen to women with perfectly fine bodies go into these dressing rooms, and the things that they would say to themselves while they were in there, or to a friend or their daughter, when they would go in the dressing room, and I would hear them say, "Oh my God, look at me, I'm such a pig," you know, just horrible ways that they spoke to themselves. And it made a big impression on me because I knew that somewhere in me I had those voices as well. So some years later, when I had an opportunity to open a store on my own, aside from the one that I had with my husband, I did a little research, and the customers that used to come into our store would look at me, and at the time I was very large. I was probably like a women's 3X. And they would look at me and say, "Is, you know, I don't understand why you only go up to a size 14, because don't you wear a larger size?" And that was the first hint that I was not paying attention to myself. I was serving everyone else but me. And so I started researching the idea of opening a boutique for women who were larger, that had beautiful clothes that would make women feel beautiful. There weren't a lot of choices back then for larger women. There are now, but there weren't back then. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this not just for my potential customers, but for me. And so I created a boutique called All of Me, and it was in Northampton, Massachusetts, where I used to live. And it was an instant hit. It was beyond just a clothing store. I did sell beautiful clothing, but I took the time to put images on the walls of beautiful, larger women, like Rubens paintings and sayings about you are beautiful, and, you know, plenty of big mirrors and affirmative messages on the walls. And I also had in the back, I had a what I called my size acceptance resource center. And that had books and literature, and we had classes back there. We did belly dancing classes. I had guest speakers that would come into the store. But the main thing about that store, which was very healing for me, as well as all the women that would come into the store, was that all of a sudden I felt like I was just fine the way I was. Whether I gained weight, lost weight, stayed the same, it didn't matter. I was still okay as a person. And I think that that was the message. I wasn't condoning people being unhealthy or anything like that. It was just accepting who you are and loving yourself where you are, because certainly hating yourself and trying to change who you are doesn't usually work. I mean, it can work in the short term. You know, I've been very successful at diets many, many times in my life. But this was different. This was okay, no matter what I weigh, I'm going to love who I am. And so it was a beautiful period of my life, because I created an environment where I felt nurtured and accepted and realized I could carry that with me wherever I went.
Well, how well did this translate over to your clients, and what kind of responses did you hear back from them?
The clients, you mean the customers that I had?
Yeah, your customers, uh-huh.
Well, I remember there was a woman who was so excited when she heard I was going to be opening the store. I didn't know her, and she lived in the town, and she actually came while I was painting it, knocked on the door. She worked in one of the other, she was a manager in one of the other stores, and she was a larger woman. And she walked in and saw what I was doing, and tears just started rolling down her cheeks as she was just, thank you so much. And I had that reaction, especially when women would go into the dressing room and they would see the positive messages, and they were trying on beautiful clothes that the town, Northampton, Massachusetts, had, it was a boutique town. And so there were all of these wonderful artistic kind of clothes that you could express yourself through clothing. But women that were larger had no options. And then they, when I opened the store, they did. And so I had many, many women just feeling so good about themselves for the first time, especially in a retail setting where they usually just, okay, whatever I can find to fit me, then I'm doing okay. Wow. And this was making them feel like normal people instead of, you know, someone who doesn't fit into the norm of what everyone else gets to enjoy. So,
well, and that had to have been an absolutely positive store to have, because I know I've gone through the same thing, as I know millions of other women have. And you sit there and go, okay, let me find the dark pants. Let me find the dark shirt. Let's see how much I can just hide everything, because, you know, I don't want to be seen. I'm large, so I don't want to be seen. And the message you're sharing with people and did is you're okay just as you are. When you're ready to do this, you know, you want to change, that's up to you. But as a person, you're just fine. I just, Cheryl, I think that was just what a fabulous thing to do. So I guess my question is, you went from this retail boutique store to being a coach. Was that kind of, did your time in retail get you there?
Well, it actually coincided, and it actually was perfect, because I've always, I mean, at the time and for quite a few years, I was working mostly with women. Now I work with men and women, because we all have an opportunity to really connect with who we really are and understand the truth of who we are instead of all the stuff that goes on in our heads. But at the time, I was also very involved in an organization and teaching women how to have healthy relationships with themselves, as well as partners, as well as how to date, all of that. And so that was where my coaching started, relationship coaching. And I still do a little of that. That is a piece of what my coaching is about. But that was my focus back then. And of course, when you're talking about relationships, the first relationship is always with yourself and with God, universe, creator, whatever you believe in. And so that's the foundation for everything, and including when you're talking about your physical body and how you feel about your physical body, then the whole acceptance piece. I mean, I was coaching women that came into that store about how to feel beautiful. One of the things that I used to do, that when I think back about it now, I would do it, but I definitely would have to wrap my mind around it again. I used to actually, you know what a cat suit is? Like a one piece body?
Yes.
I used to walk around my store with one on to show women that it's okay to let it all hang out. And, you know, I would put things on over it, but I was very free. It was a very freeing experience for me to do that. And when I would speak, because I did a little speaking back then, and when I would be asked to speak, I often would come out with the cat suit on and then something over it, so you wouldn't know. But at a certain point, I would take whatever I had on over it and say, this is who I am. This is the body that God gave me, and this is what it looks like right now. And I am proud and pleased that I have the opportunity to be here in a body. You know, what's the alternative?
Exactly. Excuse me. Well, you had mentioned when we talked earlier about the challenges in your life that brought you to a spiritual awakening. Are these some of the challenges that you were alluding to there? And then how did all of this transpire into that spiritual awakening?
Well, this was the beginning. This was when I really think that the store was one of those turning points in my life where I finally said, hey, wait a minute. I walk around feeling like I'm not good enough, that I'm not smart enough, that I'm not pretty enough. You know, just all of these things that come from internalizing external judgments, voices from others and society and all of that. I've been walking around like this for years. And so that was the first step. Like, no, you know what? I actually think I'm okay. So that was the first step, just realizing that maybe I don't have to change who I really am.
That's a huge step.
I really am.
Big step. I was going to say that's huge all by itself, yeah. Cheryl.
Yes, that is true. So that was a big turning point for me. And then as time went along and I had some pretty big challenges in my life, there were opportunities over and over again to assess, okay, so all of this is happening in my life. What does this say about me? And can I handle this? Do I have what it takes to handle this? One of the other big turning points in my life that really helped me to move along my path as far as my connection to something greater is when my son, when he was 19, perfectly normal teenager up until that point, he was ready to go away to school in the fall. And he was 19 and he had a psychotic break and was subsequently diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. And for most people, this would have been the most devastating thing a parent could imagine. Yeah. And of course, at the time, that is how it felt. It was not something I felt like I signed up for, and yet here it was. And through the process of understanding more about his path, I don't even really talk about it as his mental illness or his condition, because I see it as his path in his life. And the more I've come to understand that I really don't have any control over him. I mean, especially he was an adult when this happened legally. So I legally didn't have any control over what he did. You know, obviously I tried to do what I could for him to help him. We tried a lot of alternative medications and things first, and then realized that without psychiatric medication, he probably would not be alive right now. And so that whole process of surrendering over and over and over again to my picture of the way things should be was actually not the way things were happening. And it always felt, even from the time he was a little kid, he's a pretty amazing guy. And from the time he was a little kid, I felt like, I'm going to learn a lot from this kid. he was very, very bright, which often happens with people with mental illness. And he really had a different way of looking at things that I often thought, wow, how does he know that? How did he come onto the planet knowing this? And so when he had the psychotic break and really started not acting or looking like the rest of us and really was saying bizarre things and having bizarre behavior, there were times when I would look at him and think, well, what would be the purpose of, you know, from the grand scheme of things, like what would the purpose for him having, if you believe that people choose their path before they incarnate on this earth, which is one of my beliefs, you know, why would he have chosen this? And what has come forward about that is that he really is here to challenge systems and to be what I call a systems buster, because he's still a very loving, sweet, amazing guy. And when he is, when his medications are working and he's, you know, feeling pretty good about life, he really affects a lot of people in a very loving way. And then when he decides he doesn't want to take his medication or whatever his decisions he's made, he will wreak havoc wherever he is. And I, you know, at first was very afraid for him. And thought, I wonder if he's even going to make it, because he was engaging in some really dangerous behavior when he was unstable. And I'd heard stories from other parents who had adult children with similar conditions. And the turning point for me was when I finally said, what is the worst thing that could happen? And of course, you know, parents' worst nightmare is that somehow either he's never been suicidal. I wasn't worried about that, but that he would do something dangerous and hurt himself and not be on the planet anymore. And I thought, well, okay, so what if that happened? And this is one of the techniques I've used for myself and I teach my clients too, that let yourself go to what if the worst thing happened. And for me, it doesn't work for everyone. Some people, it just freaks them out too much. But for me, I look at it and it's like, okay, well, I would be devastated at first, and then I would adjust. And I thought of some people that I knew who had lost, you know, children. And I thought, well, okay, they seem to recover. It took them a while. And I just played it out in my mind. And then there was some sense of peace that I had. And I thought, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing that happened in the world. And if that's his path, if that's what he's meant to do, if he's meant to be like a firecracker that explodes in the world and then he's gone, then that's his path. Who am I to say that that's wrong? You know, if that's what he's here to do. So that, and then the other thing that I learned in the process of this whole spiritual journey that I went on with him, because that's how I look at it, is that I learned that I could still talk to his, what I call his higher self, rather than his psychotic self when he was being psychotic. That I could, whether he was in front of me or not, I could, if he wasn't in front of me, I would just close my eyes and imagine that he was right there and that I would ask to have a conversation with his higher self, the one that was not psychotic in that moment. And it was amazing because I would hear how he would talk if he could tell me what was really happening. And most of the time when I would do this, he would say, Mom, I know you're worried, or Mom, I know you're scared, but I'm actually fine. And sometimes when he was very manic and running around, you know, being a little what other people would definitely call crazy, he would tell me he was having a really, really good time pushing people's buttons. Yeah. He said, I'm having fun, Mom. You know, leave me alone. And I'm fine.
Cheryl, so, did you find yourself, you're in a situation where all of a sudden you really aren't in control and you really can't control what he's doing? Was that really, I can't imagine that could have been easy for you as a mother.
Well, as a mother and a control freak.
Yes. Okay, I wasn't going to add that, but you said it. I understand as one control freak to the other. I get that.
Yeah.
How'd you deal with that?
Well, so what happens when you try to control something, and we've all had some experience with this in some way, small or large, where you try to control something that has, especially if it has to do with another person, and no matter what you do, there's nothing that changes it or nothing that changes the other person. You can either say to yourself, I mean, there's a few things you could say to yourself, but you could say, well, this isn't fair, and how dare they, and be in more of a victim kind of mode with it. Or you can say, you know what, maybe it's not mine to control. Maybe that somehow thinking that I'm a mom, so I'm supposed to be able to do this a certain way. I'm supposed to be able to help my children. I'm supposed to. What if that's just a made up thing that society has made up, and I'm putting all this pressure on myself to, you know, do this a certain way, and what if it's not possible?
That's, you know, we talk about all of the shoulds in life and how the shoulds should on us. Yes. Hear that loud and clear.
Yeah. Well, just to let both of the Cheryls know, we are just about to go into break. And Cheryl, the guest, you brought up so many different lessons and just in that whole experience with your son that when we come back from break, I would love to tap into a couple of those before we move forward. So when we get back, I would love to ask you those questions and remind everybody that we do have open lines tonight. You can call in at 248-809-3474, or you can email at simplesteps@me.com with any questions you may have for our guest, Cheryl Maloney, or myself. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you, the enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest
Hey, Larry,
Service
mind if I
and
sit
the
down?
Ad Council.
Nope. This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
Ow.
Three, four, five, six,
Ow.
Seven. Dude, what is
Ow.
This? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio, I'm a real boy!
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
Now you're talking!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child. Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad.
And now back to Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We've been sitting here talking with Cheryl Fran Glass of A Woman's True Voice. And when we left, we were talking about what you do when you have no control, in your case, over your son and what was going through that, what was going through your mind and how you dealt with it. But I want to ask, you know, as you're dealing with your clients that have this need to have control over others, and, you know, we hear so much from people who say, you know, I'll be happy if, you know, my child does this or my spouse does that, and I can't be happy if I'm not married to this person and he doesn't seem to want to get married. What do you say to people who are trying to base their happiness on another person?
Well, that's a very good question, and you're right. It's very, very common with my clients and people I talk to and my friends. I think it's common to humans that we think that somehow, because of the way our society is set up, that everything revolves around the reflections that we get back from other people and our experiences in relationship to others. And where I start is at the core of what really, really, really is the truth about our existence here on planet Earth at this time. And for me, what I've come to know and what's helped me tremendously with my son and all of my relationships is that when you have a sense of yourself beyond your human body and the things that you do and all of the labels of the titles and the, you know, I'm a mom and I'm a coach and I'm a musician and whatever your titles are, when you go beyond that, the very first thing I work with my clients on is, who am I really? And I take all that away. Who am I really? And you have to be ready for the answer when you ask that question to the universe or God.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier to just go along thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to play the mom role now and I'm going to try and control this situation with my daughter, or, you know, I'm going to play the, you know, wife role or the single mom role. But we're so much greater than that. We are so far beyond all of the things that we think we are. And what I find with my clients is that when they start to understand this and feel it and experience their connection to something greater than themselves, that then all of a sudden you see yourself as part of something greater. And so that the other person that you're having the conversation with or the struggle with or you're trying to manipulate unconsciously, of course, that you start to see them, well, if I am this greater piece of the puzzle of all of humanity and all of the universe and all of creation, then they are too. And they have their own journey and they have their own unique part to play. And really then, who am I to judge what they're doing? I really only really have to worry about me and that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do here on the Earth at this time. So it's pretty deep. Goes way beyond just like giving relationship advice, which is, you know, I do that too, because I went from having a pretty intense marriage for 17 years to a very successful one, and I did meet my husband online, so
wow, yeah.
I know how to do online dating successfully.
Well, Cheryl, you had mentioned, you know, tapping into that part of you, that your higher self. How do you go about doing that? I mean, it's not that easy to find out, who am I really? I mean, is there a process that you go through?
Well, yes. I mean, the first thing is that you have to find that place in yourself where you do want to know, where you... And I don't think, some people say, you know, it's a thing that happens when you get older, which I don't actually agree with. I don't think you have to wait until you're 50 to start really, it's not about wanting to know, because I think you want to know your whole life on some level, but really being ready to take the leap from I am more than just my labels to who am I really. So the first step is just having that desire. And I would say that 99% of the time, I don't even attract people who aren't ready to make that leap. Mm-hmm. You know, they're tired of telling themselves, even hearing their own stories over and over and over again. I mean, you know, one of the labels that I had was that my parents got divorced when I was 12, and my mother moved to the other side of the country. I was on the East Coast at the time, and she moved to the other side of the country. So I was the girl and then the woman whose mother left her for years.
Wow.
And what is, like, how helpful is that to just take that label on?
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And I went to therapy, and there was nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, it was my path. That's what I needed to do. But at a certain point, I got sick of hearing that same tired story. It's like, I've got to be more than that. Just like I'm more than a mother of a son with schizoaffective disorder. I mean, that's just a little piece of an experience I've had. But I'm way beyond just that. And so I think that is that is a key, like, to just understand that those labels that we've taken on, those stories that we've integrated without even realizing it half the time, you know, even ones that we think are positive, like Cheryl, you and I were saying before, you know, about the control freak. There's been many times, and it's still, I catch myself kind of being proud of that part of myself. So what? So even that, being attached to that label, or being attached to, you know, being bossy, those kinds of things, it really limits us. It really limits us, and I think can get in the way of us really experiencing life in a more expanded way and in the flow of what is possible.
Well, and I think that you've brought up a couple things that just are ringing loud and clear with me. And we talk about these labels, and I think you're just spot on with this, because I know that as I went through the corporate world, you know, and I tell the story all the time, my father told me to get an education, get a job, be loyal to the company, and do whatever they told you to do. And then you became that person. So when that job went away, all of a sudden what I had labeled myself as, this I was good at, was gone, and then you see yourself as being not worthy, not worthwhile, not worthless, literally, because everything you've known for so long, and that's, as you're saying, that's not who you are. That's a role, but that's not who the person is. So when I listen to that, it's just like, yes, yes. And you're right. I think we all get to a point in time where we want to move beyond that. And for me, it took into my 50s. It literally did. And I hope that people that are listening out there will say, wait a minute, I don't have to wait that long. Let's do this now, if you're in your 20s, 30s, or in your 70s or 80s, because it's never too late.
Absolutely. Not only is it never too late, things have shifted so much in just human consciousness. And I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm sure many of your listeners will relate. It feels like everything's moving so fast in the world. Mm-hmm. Things are changing. You know, technology, of course, has accelerated things. But just, it feels like a day goes by and it feels like it goes by in a flash. And then at other times, it feels like a day is a year, like, because you cram so much into one day. And because of that, we actually have access to so much more. And we don't need to take so long to go through a process. I do think that it's possible now to have instantaneous transformation, or to totally transcend some of the things that used to take years of therapy, you know, where what I call the snap out of it method, you know.
Well, and it was a whole different world before, because going into therapy had its own stigma about it too, and you didn't make those changes. You just, you know, quite frankly, you kept quiet about anything that was going on, and you just literally had to tough it out, because, you know, if somebody went into therapy, that was a whole different. I remember that conversation with my parents saying, and that was like, oh, they've got to be crazy if they've got to go see a therapist. That's not normal. Whereas now we see the world differently and say, we need help to get through some of this, or we may need, and that's okay. In fact, I consider that pretty, not just brave, but very encouraging that someone would seek help to say, I want to be in a better place. So when you say your clients come to you, they're ready to get there. I think people are ready to move forward.
That's what I mean. It's years ago I considered being a psychotherapist. That was one of my interests back in high school. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go into that. And then I realized pretty quickly that I'm very empathic and sensitive, and that it would just I was not going to be able to have professional detachment.
Yeah. That's hard to do.
I just was not, and you have to when you're a therapist. So. So that's I think why I fell into coaching, because coaching is not therapy, and it's more you're working with people who are ready to move forward, and in a way that is different than, you know, when I did quite a bit of therapy trying to get over the fact that I was abandoned by my mother. and it was very helpful. The best therapist that I had was amazing, and she she said, and a lot of therapists say this, but she really did it. She said, I don't want you to have to keep coming to me. I'm going to teach you how to be your own therapist. And she did. I think I only went to her for about a year. And I still use some of those techniques that she taught me to this day. She was amazing. I was only, I think, 22 when I went to her. So there is, you know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with therapists and therapy, you know, and psychotherapy, you know, it definitely has its place. And whatever you feel will help you get through whatever it is so that you can fully live the life that you are here to live, whatever works for you is great. Well, for me and for the clients that I attract, they're like, I am so sick of listening to myself with these stories. I am ready to move forward.
Yeah.
And so that's what I help people do, to just get going and do what they're here to do.
So. I want to go back to one thing you just said a second ago, and that was that you think that there can be instantaneous transformation. And I totally agree with that, especially because of something you said even earlier, which was when you talked about surrendering over and over and over again. You can have that transformation as long as you stay there and keep doing that process over and over again. It can be instantaneous, but if you do it once and expect it to stick, you're going back and you're going to have to redo the whole thing. And, you know, so I loved what you said there about, you know, take that step, but then take the next one and then take, you know, just keep it up.
Yeah, no, that's totally true, because what you're doing, I think what often we think when we take a step that then
we're
the
done.
Next step, yeah, or that somehow that step puts us in the place where we're supposed to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that creation is in the process of creating itself. So creation or God or whatever you want to call it doesn't even know what the next step is for creation itself. So how do we know what the next step is really? And so it's really a process of being right in the present moment. What is the universe presenting to me right now?
Yeah.
What is in front of me? And that's the step to take. And it's, you know, it's clear. Sometimes it's not clear. You don't know which way to what the step is. And so for me, what I've learned to do is I just ask to be shown. Show me the truth. Show me,
Cheryl,
the next step. And then then I let go.
Talk about that a little bit, because you actually have a process on tapping into your higher self, tapping into that spiritual side of you. Tell our audience a little bit about how you go about doing that.
Well, for me, it really doesn't matter what your belief system is. This is one of the things that's interesting, because I've definitely played in the more woo-woo land, and I've also played in the, you know, more religious land. I've definitely experimented with a lot of different religions. Even though I was raised Jewish, I was in Jews for Jesus, and I've, you know, been in Buddhist monasteries and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it really doesn't, for me, it doesn't matter, as long as you understand that there is something, a creator, a universe that is bigger than yourself, God, whatever you want to call it. And once you know that, then why wouldn't you have faith, or I think it's beyond faith, that you're being guided, or that things will be presented when it's time. And so what I do is, the first thing is just to acknowledge that I am in a co-creative relationship with the universe, with God,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not doing it by myself, and that I also am an integral part of the big picture, and so I do have a place here on this planet. I'm here to be in the co-creative process with the universe. And so from that place, in one of my friend Jennifer has, who is an amazing coach as well, she had me create these post-its, and I put them all over my house, and it just says, the universe has my back.
And it's not an affirmation. It's more of an activation. And I do this with my clients, too. I just have them start there and put those post-its everywhere. And it's just an activation. So you look at it and you remember, oh, yeah, I'm not alone. I am doing this with help, with the most amazing assistance that one could have, way better than a business partner or a spouse or anything. You know, what is a better co-creative partner than the universe or God? Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. And then from there, it's asking. I ask a lot. And I usually do it before I go to sleep. And I just ask to be shown. Show me the truth of who I am. Show me what my next step is. And it won't always come. It won't always come immediately. And if you're not paying attention, you may miss it. And the reason that we miss it sometimes is because we have an idea, even though we say we don't know what the next step is. We have a picture of what we think it should be or what kind of package it should arrive in. And so then when it does arrive right in front of us and, you know, it's very clear we're being directed to sell our business or move to the other side of the country. And we're like, that can't be it because we don't wanna. Yeah. And the thing about being in the co-creative relationship with the universe is it's not really about feeling good all the time and, oh, well, it feels good, and so that must be the right thing. It doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense at all. And yet, if you follow it, because it's presenting and the universe is presenting it as an opportunity, and you just explore it and say, well, what would it mean if I moved to the other side of the country? And you start exploring it, like, and then everything starts falling into place, and then it's, wow, okay, I get it. So ask and then be willing to really see what's there and what's being presented.
Hmm.
And so just out of curiosity, when you get into one of those situations where you don't like it, it's not pleasant, it's not good, and you literally can get so tied up in the fact that everything isn't good at that particular moment, how do you advise your clients to work through that?
Again, it goes back to what I bring my clients back to is if you know that the universe has your back, that very first exercise, if you know that the universe has your back and this is what's presenting, then there is no wrong decision. There is no wrong thing that will be presented. It is the right thing, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's perceptively negative in some way, or you just don't want to. If the universe really does have your back, then there's a reason that you might not be able to see that you will see on the other side. And how many times has that happened to all of us where, you know, we end up ending a relationship or quitting a job or doing something that's so uncomfortable. And then a few years down the road, you look back and go, wow.
It's the best thing that ever happened.
This happened because I made that decision even though it was hard and I thought I was so worried about that I was going to make a mistake. And that's a big issue. It was definitely a big issue for me growing up. Like, if I choose A instead of B, what if B was the right choice? And then I'm going to live with regret. <You know? laughs> And you can't, that is such a trap. When you live that way, I did it for years. It's like you didn't want to say yes to anything because I was afraid that if I made the wrong choice, that I was going to regret it. So instead, I was not doing a lot of things and regretting not doing them in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there really is no such thing. I mean, if the universe really does have our backs, God really is, you know, in the co-creative process with us, then anything we do is the right choice because it's the choice that's presenting in the moment and we just go with it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get used to. We human beings are not used to doing things this way. And it's, but we've evolved to a place now where control in our world is not working. And we are getting evidence of that everywhere, from the banking system collapsing to the government and healthcare. And, you know, we are trying to keep it all together. And everyone I know that owns their own business, or you know, it's just things aren't working the way they used to. We were able to control it and have systems in place. And then those same systems in this energy that we're in right now aren't working, and everyone's going, what the heck?
It's a change. We're going through a change and an evolution. And you know, it's like talking to my mother, who wants things to be the way they were back in the 50s. Well, life changes, and we're going through that same type of thing right now. It's just taking it to a whole different level, where you know, we're seeing the universe differently. So, well, Cheryl, this has been an amazing conversation with you, and it's hard to believe. And Jack's sitting down there going, yeah, we're almost out of time again. This hour has just flown past. So before we get to the point where, you know, everything is just going to tell us that we have to close out for the day, tell our folks, what I'd like you to do is just give our audience maybe one or two pieces of advice that you give most often to your clients that are dealing with challenges.
I would say spend some time every day in silence. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely not saying to have a formal meditation practice. If that works for you, that's fine. But for most people, especially right now, that's just another should on their to-do list. So just find some quiet time. And you can walk. You don't have to sit and ohm and, you know, with cross-legged on the floor. But just take some time in the silence every single day. I think that that's really, really important. And it is something that I do and share with my clients, because there's no way you can really hear your true voice when you have that chatter going on constantly. And if you just take some time, especially to be in nature, it just makes such a huge difference. And the other thing I would say is to just ask yourself what we've been talking about. Am I willing to know the truth of who I am and what is possible? And if the answer is yes, and most likely if you're attracted to listening to this show today, there is a yes in you, then just open to the possibilities and ask to be shown what is possible. Because well, that alone can just open so much up that you have no idea.
Well, Cheryl, what's next on your agenda? What do you have coming up? And how can our audience reach you to talk to you about coaching and whatever else you have coming up?
Well, probably the best way is if your audience goes to my website, and my business is truevoicecommunications.com. And there, right now, I do have a few things listed. I'm going to be doing a lot more, just in a little bit of a lull right now. But I have a course coming up, which is Facebook for World Changers and Difference Makers.
Oh, wow.
So you guys are already experts at that, but that's one of the classes I teach, and I am teaching it live here in Phoenix, as well as I'm going to be doing a teleseminar as well in May. And I also, there you'll find also my coaching services. You can also find me on Facebook on A Woman's True Voice. It's not just for women. Facebook doesn't let you change the name. I get 100 people. So I do have some wonderful men, including Kenny, who visits. So that's another place that you can be in touch with me. And if you'd like to email me directly, you can either do it through my website or Facebook, or you can email me at Cheryl@truevoicecommunications.com.
And it's Cheryl, S-H-E-R-R-Y-L.
Yes, don't forget the double R's. Thank you, Mama.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for being on the show. We're about to tie it up and close down for the night. So we really appreciate you being here and helping our audience to hear how they can listen to their own true voice too. So we really appreciate it. Kenny, we're it's hard to believe we got through an hour again, but
oh, it goes too fast.
I know. And next week, for those of you that are out, it's going to be just Kenny and I chatting. We've had a lot of questions come into us from our listeners, from our Facebook page. So we're going to take next week's show to answer your questions. So thank you all for being here and have a fabulous rest of your week.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl and Cheryl. And good night, everyone.
Good night.